Alleluia, Christ is risen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. On Easter evening, the Lord established the office of the holy ministry when he said, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." To understand how ministers are sent, we first must understand how Christ was sent. He answers this question while preaching in Nazareth. He quotes the prophet Isaiah saying, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He was sent to carry out the Father's will. So the Son went around preaching the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." Then he won that kingdom by his suffering and resurrection. Now he sends out his ministers to continue to do what he did, not to win salvation. Salvation is found only in Christ. There is no other name given to men under heaven by which we must be saved. Christ alone is it. At his birth alone, the angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace." At his death alone, it was declared, "It is finished." All sin is paid for by Christ alone. So ministers are not sent to win, attain, or secure salvation in any way, shape, or form. But they are sent to carry out the will of Christ and to give that salvation by preaching the good news to all creation. He fills them with his Holy Spirit, so they might in turn breathe that same Holy Spirit onto you. For the work is not the work of man, but the work is the work of God. Only he can save. Through their preaching, the Spirit rushes to your ears and heart, giving you boldness and love, boldness to confess the truth, and love to live according to it. But again, why on Easter? What's the connection between the resurrection and the ministry? Well, there is a practical aspect. Christ will no longer visibly work among them. He is ascending to his Father, having completed his work of winning salvation. But there also is a theological aspect. As Christ appeared to his trembling disciples, giving to them the peace of his resurrection, so he does the same for you through the office of the holy ministry. Through their preaching, through their baptizing, through their communing, a flesh and blood God stands among you, giving you the peace of his cross and the joy of his resurrection. His sufferings, his resurrection, he has placed them in the mouth of his ministers and subjugates under them all the power of the devil and of hell, together with heaven and eternal life. What good is it to know how he comforted his disciples if you do not know how he desires to comfort you? Your flesh and blood God desires to come to you through flesh and blood to calm your troubled hearts, and to give you a peace that the world cannot give. What he did on that first Easter evening and 8 days later is what he desires to do for you. So a pastor's authority is a spiritual authority over sin, death, and the devil. As an ambassador of Christ, I have no business teaching you about economics, constitutional law, nutrition, health, fitness, sports, or other things. God has appointed others for such tasks. My authority is over sin alone. To teach you that you should eternally perish because of your sins. You were born in sin and cannot set yourself free from sin. But it's also to teach you that through faith in Christ you are free from all your sins. But if you continue in unbelief, if you persist in rejecting the forgiveness of God, then you will be lost eternally. So the power and authority of ministers is not over the body, money, possessions, or anything else in this life, but it's over sin. Likewise, the power and authority of doctors and governments is not over sin. They cannot save you. Theirs is an earthly authority given by God. It is important for us to keep these authorities in their proper sphere. When we try to cross one over into another and to get one authority to do something it has not been sent to do, we will find ourselves in trouble. For example, if we look to governments to save us from death, we will be disappointed, at the very least. And at the most, we may fall away from Christ. For governments must be willing to sacrifice life for the good of a country, such as in wartime. But the ministry does not sacrifice life, because theirs is an authority over sin, and Christ has already made the full and complete sacrifice. He saves from death. So the forgiveness and peace that ministers give saves you from death and brings to you a glorious resurrection. So after all, our Lord does not establish governments or doctors on Easter, but he establishes the office of the ministry so that the forgiveness and peace of Christ's resurrection might be yours. When they forgive you, it is as if Christ himself forgives you, for in truth, they are the mouth and hands of Christ. A flesh and blood God comes to you in flesh and blood, even as he did to those disciples on that first Easter evening. Their word cannot save you, that is, the word of a pastor. But Christ's words can. So he fills his ministers with his Holy Spirit so that they might speak the very words of God. So it is right to call the word of the minister God's word, for the office is not the pastor's, but it is Christ's. He established it. He works through it. He saves you through it. Do not doubt. For the one who rose from the dead will not deceive you. He established it so he might continue to work among you. If you desire your risen Savior's blessings, then receive them from the minister whom Christ has sent to you. Or if a minister is denied you, then go to a fellow Christian who can also speak that word. But if you think you don't need this ministry, if you think that Christ established it for others, the weak Christians, but not for you, if you would rather trust in governments or doctors for salvation and freedom from death, and if you do not seek the forgiveness of sins where God has placed it, then your sins are not forgiven. For Christ also sent his ministers to retain sin, to withhold forgiveness from the impenitent sinners so long as they do not repent. Those sins remain on their shoulders then, and they will have to stand before the judgment seat of God. And they will have to explain to him why they did not receive his forgiveness. It's not about the pastor. It's about Christ. The pastor is not the judge, but simply the servant of him who judges the living and the dead. He leads you to Christ's cross, an empty tomb. He preaches only what he was sent to preach, forgiveness in the name of Christ. So our Lord established the office of the holy ministry on Easter, because the forgiveness of sins cannot be separated from the resurrection. Thus, your flesh and blood God comes to you in flesh and blood to give you the peace of his resurrection. Alleluia, Christ is risen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.